Dear, the thing stopped working, this stopped working, so hopefullyans are going to hear me online. We'll just have to see. So, we begin with the first reading, of course, and it's a reading from the book of the prophet Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I will tell you." So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city, and it took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed." When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them, and he did not carry it out. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my Savior. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Remember that your compassion, O Lord, and your love are from of old. In your kindness, remember me because of your goodness, O Lord. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice and teaches the humble his way. Teach me your ways, O Lord. The second reading is a reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them, those weeping as not weeping, those rejoicing as not rejoicing, those buying as not owning, and those using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My brothers and sisters, may our Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." And then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in the boat, mending their nets, and he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you?
Blessed.
Anybody know what I'm going to preach on today? Repentance, of course, because both the first reading and the gospel talk about it, and the second reading says it's coming fast, so you better be ready. So same thing, we need to repent. And it's something we all need to do. Trust me, everyone here needs to repent of something. I need to repent of something every day. And we're getting also called to vocation, how we're called to vocation. Yesterday, I had the great honor of going up to Canton, Ohio, to Santa Clara, a monastery up there, the Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration, because one of our girls, Emma Walters, became a sister yesterday. And it was a glorious thing, even though I only found out I was going to say the Mass and preach 5 minutes before Mass, which was quite interesting. But anyway, it turned out fine. And you see her, she was there, she had the long, beautiful hair, and the sister comes with these big scissors and snop, 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 cuts all her hair off and it falls into a basket. And they put the veil on her and she's no longer Emma. Now she's Sister Therese Marie of the Holy Family. So y'all got to pray for Sister Marie Therese of the Holy Family, one of our own who is now a beloved sister, on a journey, beloved sister. And then I found out the same day that her cousin Alex Blokes, who's here at Mass today, got accepted to the seminary for the fall. Isn't that glorious, huh? So, He's going Franciscan, but hey, it's a vocation, it's all works. But anyway, so you got to pray for vocations, pray for ours who are entering in to follow Jesus more intimately, and pray for more. But anyway, after I had the thing, I'm in the sacristy, minding my own business, which none of you believe, but it was very true. I just sat there and I'm getting invested, and the guy comes and he starts screaming at me. Now, this has happened to me once or twice before, but I didn't say anything this time to make it happen. And he's yelling and he starts off, "Now, Father, do you know it's a mortal sin to vote for someone who's pro-choice?" Yeah, okay. And he says, "So what am I supposed to do? Because 50% of Catholics voted for people who were pro-abortion." And I says, "Well, sir, what you do is you pray for them and you fast for them." "What? That's not going to do it, Father." I said, "Prayer is more powerful than anything else on this earth. And if prayer is nothing, you and I are doing, we're wasting our time. It's the most powerful thing we can do. We need to change hearts." But then he started, so I went back at him, because you know, I can only take things for a while. And so he's pushing, he's this far in my face, and I said, "You do know, sir, that pride and arrogance is also a sin." Oh no. Nothing compared to what these people did. And then he says, "The worst thing that's ever happened to church, I've been ordained 31 years, the last 31 years is the worst thing ever, and how much he hates me, he's always hated me." And I go, "Thank you, it was a great time." But anyway, thanks be to goodness, Justin showed up and he got between us and he slowly pushed him away and got him away from me. But here was someone who I felt bad. I said the Divine Mercy Chaplet for him on the way home, or the rosary for him, because I just thought, this man is not going to be long on this earth. And yet so filled with anger, righteous anger, but an anger that's destroying him, you can see it. Not realizing that he too is called to repentance. Everyone here, it's very easy when we look at everybody else and says, "Look what they did, look what they did, look what they did, look what they did, look what they did." Look. We all have stuff we can push. But how much harder is it to say, "Look what I've done. Look what I have to change. I love to do things my way instead of doing things God's way." And that got us stopped. He calls us to true repentance. But then he shows us how we're called to call others to repentance. Now you have two different realities. You have Jonah in the Old Testament, and you have Jesus in the New. Now some people like being just Old Testament type people. 40 days and you will be destroyed. Great thing. Now they listen and they go, "Okay, I'm going to repent." And they did. And we don't read this today, but you do know, if you know the book of Jonah, what did Jonah do after everybody repented? He got very upset. He went under a tree and he says, "I am so angry, I should die. Kill me, God." Why? Because he wanted these people to die for what they did. Give justice, God. Give justice. And so he actually tells God to kill him because he did not kill these Ninevites because they converted. And so God says, and then the tree that was over him, it died. And he says, "So you're more concerned about a tree than you are about these people. Should I not have given mercy?" To teach us that God wants us to repent because he loves us. And now you get, so that's the very hardcore of the Old Testament. Then you get Jesus, who is God. There isn't like God. There isn't someone to remind us of God. Jesus Christ is God. Can we all agree on that?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad. Because God then shows us how to call people to repentance. He says, "Repent and believe in what?" The good news. Gospel is good news. So now it's just not a repentance because you're going to go to hell, because then you repent because of yourself. And there are people in this very room that like to do that to people. I've done it most of my priesthood. But it doesn't change people's hearts. It does for a while. As long as they're afraid, they'll repent. But the moment they're no longer afraid, they're going to do things the way they want. But if we allow people to come to know the love of God, that's the good news. Then they stay. They stay in relationship with God, because the deepest need for everyone is to be loved, period. And so here is the way Jesus does it. And how does Jesus deal with our sin? How does Jesus deal with the evil in the world? How does Jesus do with all this? What does he do? He dies on the cross to fill the justice of God in himself. What Jesus does is he takes your sins, which you should be damned for forever. He takes my sins, which I should be damned for forever, and he pays the penalty. That's grace. That's what we need to be offering others, because when we tell them about the love of God, they're going to respond. When we tell them, now that you know that you're loved, you must be pro-life. You must stop committing mortal sin. You must stop doing these things, because if you love somebody, you do what pleases them. And you know what? I have got more people to God this way than I ever did the other way. It works. Why? Because Jesus, who is God, shows us that it works. And Jesus, who is God, took all these pagans, all these great sinners, and he made them great saints. And that's the call for everyone, to be great saints. That you and I need to repent of our sins before we sit there and start. And then the day you think that, I don't have any sins, that's why I can point it to those other ones, you have the sin of pride, you're going to hell for sure. When we all know in that humble place, I deserve damnation, period. And yet Jesus Christ died for me. And he died for everybody else. And I got to make sure they know that they too repent. We got to stop sinning. Of course we do. And it's the time where I say, Lord, I no longer want to live for me. I want you to live inside of me. Much different than just, oh yeah, I'll stop doing these sins. Much different than that. It's now no longer living and letting Jesus Christ live inside of you. Now you can deal with your sin because he's dealing with it. Now you can call other people to this because that's the way Jesus dealt with it. So before those of you online and everybody else start saying, well, da 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 da, your anger will convert no one. I'm filled with it, I know. But when you let Jesus take control of your life, now things will change in your heart, and now he can bring others to repentance through you, because you don't have the power. Your judgment, my judgment, will convert nobody. People send me things online filled with anger. Bam, I don't even read it, throw it out. Not the least bit interested, I could care less, keep it. If someone talks about the love of God so I can become holy and a saint, tell me more. Tell me more. So today, let's begin with ourselves. Repent. Believe in the gospel. And then, in all humility, let's bring the whole world to repentance, that they too would believe in the gospel. Got it? Get it? Gonna do it? May you know his love today and forever. Amen.